If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts, chapter 17. This is God's word. After they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As usual, Paul went into the synagogue and on three Sabbath days reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah. Some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, including a large number of God-fearing Greeks as well as a number of the leading women. But the Jews became jealous, and they brought together some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. Attacking Jason's house, they searched for them to bring them out to the public assembly. When they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here too, and Jason has welcomed them. They are all acting contrary to Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, Jesus." The crowd and city officials who heard these things were upset. After taking a security bond from Jason and the others, they released them. As soon as it was night, the brothers and sisters sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. Upon arrival, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. The people here were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, since they received the word with eagerness and examined the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Consequently, many of them believed, including a number of the prominent Greek women, as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica found out that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul at Berea, they came there too, agitating and upsetting the crowds. Then the brothers and sisters immediately sent Paul away to go to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed on there. Those who escorted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving instructions for Silas and Timothy to come to him as quickly as possible, they departed. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply distressed when he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with those who worshiped God, as well as in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also debated with him. Some said, "What is this ignorant show-off trying to say?" Others replied, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign deities," because he was telling the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. They took him and brought him to the Areopagus and said, "May we learn about this new teaching you are presenting? Because what you say sounds strange to us, and we want to know what these things mean." Now, all the Athenians and the foreigners residing there spent their time on nothing else but telling or hearing something new. Paul stood in the middle of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that you are extremely religious in every respect. For as I was passing through and observing the objects of your worship, I even found an altar on which was inscribed, 'To an unknown God.' Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by hands. Neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives everyone life and breath and all things. From one man he has made every nationality to live over the whole earth, and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of where they live. He did this so that they might seek God, and perhaps they might reach out and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, then, we shouldn't think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image fashioned by human art and imagination. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God now commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has set a day when he is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. He has provided proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some began to ridicule him. But others said, "We'd like to hear from you again about this." So Paul left their presence. However, some people joined him and believed, including Dionysius the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Paul in Thessalonica focuses his outreach at the Jewish synagogue. That is a reasonable place to start, and it's where he was led by the Lord to start. The people who were there already believed in the Creator. They already believed that God had spoken through his word. They would have memorized a lot of scripture, being good Jews. And they had along with them a number of people who were not ethnically Jewish, but who had become convinced that the God of the Jews is the true God. And so when Paul went there week after week on a Sabbath day, he was received as a rabbi, as a teacher, and he was able to argue and persuade some that Jesus is the Messiah. That was the focus. He focused on the fact that if you look at these scriptures, which you already believe are true, you will see that what has happened in the life of Jesus, the miracles that he did, the things that he taught, his death, burial, and resurrection are all pointed to in the scriptures that God gave in the Old Covenant. Now you need to see that Jesus is the Messiah, and you need to put your trust in him. God had promised all through the Old Testament scriptures that he would one day send a redeemer. He would send the perfect lamb. He would send one of David's line. He would send one who would be the heir to what Moses had done. All these prophecies pointed to one Messiah figure who would come and rescue his people. But the surprise was that the way he rescued his people was by dying on the cross. That is something they hadn't seen coming because they didn't understand the scriptures. And Paul's taking them back and showing them and showing them and showing them. And we see this all through the book of Acts when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. And he pointed them to the scriptures and he said, it was prophesied not only that he would die, but that he would rise again. David said, you will not let your Holy One undergo decay. And he says, David was buried and his tomb is with us to this day. But Jesus has been raised from the dead. So Paul was following in the standard evangelistic approach with people who already believe in the God of the Bible. There were people who were convinced. There were people who were converted. There were quite a few. But because of that, the unconverted Jewish leadership got very angry. And they wanted to get rid of Paul. So they went to Jason's house. And when Paul was not there, they dragged Jason out. It says they attacked his house in verse 5. I guess that means they threw rocks or something. Maybe they beat on it with sticks, but they attacked his house and searched for them to bring them out to the public assembly. When they didn't find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here too." It's an interesting charge. They've turned the world upside down. Well, here's what you need to know. The world was upside down. What they did was, in fact, to turn it over. I was down at the end of Line Springs Road just a couple of weeks ago, about to drive over to Knoxville. And lo and behold, there was a vehicle in the road on 321, and it was turned, not completely upside down, but on its side, blocking both lanes of traffic. I don't know how many of you saw that. It was quite impressive. Obviously, there had been a pretty significant crash. I think maybe three vehicles involved, not just two. Now, suppose that instead of turning that vehicle back up and getting it out of the way, it had just been left there. Okay? Traffic began going around it, and this vehicle's just sitting there, blocking both lanes of 321. People are driving down in the ditch to get around, and that just becomes the new way of life. And 5 years later, somebody who's not familiar with the area comes and looks at it and says, "What's going on here?" And we good locals who don't like change say, what are you talking about? Well, why is that road blocked? Both lanes are blocked. Oh, they're not blocked. We're doing fine. We just go around it, right? Do you understand that when people are living in rebellion against God, that's perverted. It is twisted. It is upside down. And what the gospel does is it shows us how we can be made upright again, how our lives can be transformed by God's grace so that we don't have to spend our life going through ditches. God came in the person of Jesus Christ and provided salvation for all who trust in Him. But folks, when you receive Him, it involves repentance. Paul talks about that. God is now calling all people everywhere to repent. Well, repentance means you can't stay perverted. You can't stay upside down. You've got to turn things over. And if you're upright in a world that's perverted, you look like you're upside down. Suppose you went into a building. You'd never been there before, but you're trying to find something. And as you go down the hallway, you open a door to a room, and inside there are a whole bunch of people standing on their heads. And you think, I guess this is a yoga class. And it's like, hello, I'm looking for, and they look at you and they go, look at that. Look at that person. Can you believe it? They're upside down. And you think, what? They say, where did you come from? And you say, well, I came from outside. Well, I can't believe that. Why are you upside down? Now, would you look at them and think, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I was upside down? Or would you realize, wow, I don't know who these people are or how they got this way, but they're the ones who are upside down. Let me tell you something. Every single one of you has to make a decision. What do you believe is right? Do you think the way the world does things is right? Or is it upside down? Is it crazy? It's not working very well. People aren't real happy out there. I'd want to ask those folks, how long have you been like this? All our lives. This is the only thing we know. You're the one who's odd. Well, don't you get headaches? Oh, all the time, but that's just life. Well, don't you feel a little limited as far as what you can do and where you can go? Hey, this is just the way it is. Let me tell you something. Jesus came so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. But you won't have it if you're determined to try and fit in by staying upside down. These men who have turned the world upside down have come here too, and Jason has welcomed them. They are all acting contrary to Caesar's decrees, saying there is another king, Jesus. You know, there's some truth to that. That is what Paul was saying. There is another king. He's the real king. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. His name is Jesus. And every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let me ask you, have you bowed to him? Have you surrendered your life to him? Are you trusting in him and seeking to walk in his ways? Or have you not yet repented? Have you not yet turned? Because repentance means a change of mind that results in changed behavior, a change of direction. Now, the crowd and city officials who heard these things were upset. And after taking a security bond from Jason and the others, they released them. As soon as it was night, the brothers and sisters sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. And upon arrival, they said, we've got to have a different strategy. No. In Berea, they did the same thing that they did in Thessalonica. They went to where there were people who believed in the Creator God who had revealed himself through the Scriptures and through salvation history. And they proclaimed to them the same good news that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God's anointed King. He is the Savior of all who believe. And as they proclaimed the gospel to the Bereans proved themselves to be of more noble character than the folks in Thessalonica. And what did they do that demonstrated that? They searched the Scriptures to see if these things were so. Do you know what I desperately want you to do? I want you to look in the Scriptures for yourself. Well, Pastor Wood says, Pastor Wood might be wrong. How do you know if he's right? Well, I don't know. He's older than I am. Yeah, but I know a bunch of old people who are just wacky. Okay? Well, he's got more education than I do. Well, I know other people who have more education than I do, and they're wacky. So, how do we know? Search the Scriptures. Examine the Scriptures. See for yourself. If I say something that doesn't line up with Scripture, I'm wrong. You understand that? If what I'm telling you doesn't line up with the Scriptures, I'm wrong. It's not I might be wrong. I'm wrong. Okay? Now, I work very hard to try and be sure that what I say lines up with the Scriptures, because the Scripture's true. The Scriptures are infallible. That means no mistake. Me? I'm not infallible. When I agree with Scripture, I got it right. If, God forbid, I disagree with Scripture at some point, I am wrong. Please understand that. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm not here anymore and I don't have Pastor Wood and my teachers and my mentors and my house parents and the other people at the ranch to show me what's true. Have you ever seen one of these? This is called a Bible. And if you have this, You have the place to go to find out the truth. You understand? Somebody tells you something, it's like, oh, wow, I've never heard that before. I don't know if that's true or not. Well, here's where you find out. Go to the Scriptures and see what God says. So the Bereans searched the Scriptures. Consequently, verse 12, many of them believed, including a number of the prominent Greek women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica found out that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul at Berea, they came there too. It's amazing how angry some people get against the truth. I mean, Paul's not even in their town anymore. He's gone somewhere else. Yeah, but we got to stop him. We got to stamp that out. Folks, that's going on in our country right now. There are powerful, influential people who are determined not just to hold to what they believe, but to make sure that nobody anywhere out there disagrees with them. And they're going to sue in the courts and do whatever they can to try and shut down anybody who believes that the Bible is true and that Jesus Christ is Lord. What should we do? Keep on preaching the truth. Keep on living the truth. Keep on trusting in God. But it looks like in this case that sometimes there's going to be persecution. Yeah, Jesus said that. Jesus said in this world you're going to have tribulation. But don't be afraid. I've already overcome the world. We don't have to be nervous about those folks. Paul used to be one of those folks. He was one of the persecutors going from place to place in order to persecute those who believed. So they get Paul out of town. The others were a little less controversial. They send Paul with escorts all the way to Athens. He shows up in Athens, Greece, and he says, "Send for the others. I want them here with me." While he's waiting, he goes out looking around the city, and it's like, can you believe this place? Statues everywhere honoring demons. Okay? Scripture says that those idols are in and of themselves nothing, but the spiritual power behind the idol and behind idolatry is demonic. And let me tell you, there are still just as many demons in the world today. And there are people who honor them in all kinds of ways. And by the way, sports idolatry is one of the biggest areas of bondage in our section of the Bible Belt, okay? Sports idolatry is a huge demonic problem, and people are ready to give their lives for that. Don't fall for it. But Paul's response is, again, he starts out by going to the synagogue and sharing with the people there, but other folks he also shares with when he goes into the marketplace and just talks to anybody who he can strike up a conversation with. I love this about him. You see it? He reasoned in the synagogue, verse 17, with the Jews and with those who worship God, as well as in the marketplace every day with those who happen to be there. Paul's out looking for people in order to tell them. Why? Because, verse 30, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God now commands all people everywhere to repent. Paul knows all these folks are headed for hell if they don't repent. What kind of uncaring beast just doesn't give a flip if people go to hell? Well, they deserve it. Well, yes, so did you. So, Pastor, what are you saying, that we're all supposed to be like the Apostle Paul out there just every day trying to strike up conversations with people and tell them about Jesus? No, not necessarily. You don't have to do that full time. Just wherever you are and wherever you go. In other words, this should be the most natural thing in the world. If you had a cure for cancer, would you just tell people if they asked? Or would you be looking for ways to try and get it out there? Okay? If you had found a way, Knoxville, Tennessee is the, according to the American Asthma and Allergy folks, it is the third worst place in America for people with allergies. Do you know that? Guess who has allergies? Knoxville. Why? Well, partly because it's kind of in a bowl, partly because beautiful Great Smoky Mountains National Park has greater variety of deciduous trees than anywhere in the world. Okay? And so our bodies are not bombarded with one or two kinds of pollen. We are bombarded with all kinds of pollen. And our bodies are like, and sometimes our immune system just rises up and says, I got to generate some more histamine. So we get itchy and sniffly, and our body's trying to deal with it. And then, of course, there's the fact that that beautiful international biosphere, which is a fabulous, fabulous gift from God, is also a rainforest. And therefore, there's a lot of mold. Gee, Pastor Wood, you've made me feel so much better. Well, I just want you to know it's not something wrong with you. It's the fact that you're living in a place that's challenging. All right? Now, why in the world did I bring that up? I can't remember. But it had something to do with this passage. Any suggestions? Someone want to tie that back in? Here's the deal. Paul is out looking. Oh, I know what I was going to say. If living here, you had a cure for allergies, okay? If you had discovered a way, like the neti pot with saline in it. I mean, if you had found something that made a huge difference. Do you know what my allergist in Knoxville said? Actually, it was his assistant. I said, do you think that saline rinse thing really works? She said, honestly, Reverend Wood, if people would just use that faithfully, 90% of our patients would no longer need us. Well, do you know what that made me want to do? Not only use my saline, but start telling people, hey, have you tried this? Hey, have you tried this? Hey, have you tried this? Now, I don't go up to people just, you know, in the grocery store and say, hey, have you ever tried nasal rinse with saline? I don't do that. But whenever somebody is saying, oh, my allergies are bugging me. Oh, I'm having a terrible time. That's my moment, okay? When there's a recognition on their part that they have a need, I want to tell them about the solution that worked. Got it? Okay, I think Pastor Wood is saying Jesus is like a neti pot. No, what I'm saying is, if you know something that has made a huge difference in your life, and you see other people suffering with the same problem that you were dealing with, it would be irresponsible and even cruel not to share the good news with them. Now you got it? And you can do that at the grocery store. Just don't touch them. Okay. Hi, have you tried the neti pot? Don't do that. If you see somebody who is demonstrating their need for the Savior. Everybody needs a Savior. But if you see somebody who's struggling, tell them what Jesus has done for you. Tell them who Jesus is. Now, Paul was invited to go to the place where the philosophers met and where they did their thing. And there, what he did was not to start with the scriptures of the Jews as he did in the synagogue. Instead, he started with their concept of God. He was able to quote from their poets. He had learned about their culture. And he began by helping them recognize the Creator, who is the creator of all things. That was an alien philosophy to these Greeks. That's not their cosmology. It is not their understanding of how things came to be. Paul didn't say, we're just going to avoid saying something that goes against what they believe, the way that some who call themselves evangelicals are now recommending that we should do. Okay? Let's just don't get into the creation thing. That turns people off. They're already off. You understand? They're already off. Go ahead and tell them the truth. The fact is, there is one God who is the true God. He has always been, always will be, and He is the creator of all things. If you don't want to acknowledge Him, too bad for you. You're the one living in a psychotic fantasy. It's not usually the way I present it to people, but it is the framework from which I'm coming with the truth to tell people, while there's time, you need to repent. Well, I don't believe in God. Well, okay, fine. I know people who don't believe in all kinds of things that the rest of us know are true. Do you know what happens to people who don't believe in gravity? They don't float. You understand? People who don't believe in gravity fall down and hurt themselves just like people who know that gravity exists. And so if you decide, I don't believe in God, it's not going to make God go away. God isn't like Tinkerbell. People have to say they believe or else He'll just fade away. It's not the way it works. God is God. And He has overlooked ignorance in the past, but now He's set a time when Jesus is going to come again and judge the world. And lo and behold, you and I have the only message of salvation that is true. So Paul told them the truth and warned them of coming judgment and told them the proof God has given that Jesus is Lord is that He raised Him from the dead. Now, you may not believe that either, but it's true. And if you ever bother to investigate the evidence, you will find that the case is overwhelming. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is alive. And because of that, you can know Him. You can be saved. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank You so much for the fact that He is alive and we can know Him and have life in Him forever. We thank You for the faithfulness of the Apostle Paul and others who've gone before. Grant that we would be faithful in proclaiming the truth to our generation with our words and with our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.